day had been set up an eternity ago. This man who had me convinced, this man I followed, believed, and I know, is the foundation of truth, was the Messiah in flesh, who came to conquer kings and to silence the oppressed, shun. My thoughts weigh a ton. Why would he call me his child when I wasn't even born his son? But he loved me like a father. He knew my heart as it beat. I walked and saw his miracles. I listened to teachings at his feet. I watched as he spoke with the certainty of a man with clear purpose. We desire to be his servants, but he chose to serve us. Why would the world want to kill this love? There was no push. It never came to shove. Yet he was despised and rejected by mankind. Religious leaders after his blood proving they were more than blind. He took up our pain. And he bore our suffering, our transgressions of sin healed by a sacrificial covering. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was written prophecy in the flesh, and by his death he's revealed. Fast forward a few thousand, and I find those blinded are the same. Mankind's faith torn apart by their fleshly interpretations of a holy name. While good things are freely given, the giver's gifts are rejected. Clear paths are simply dead ends paved by poor choices selected. And for what? A few material acquisitions? Our daily grind missions for higher positions? We're handling things our own so we feel a bit safer. A false sense of control thinking that we're our own savior. But like sheep, we have all gone astray. Our Messiah has been put to death for a price I was meant to pay. I was his disciple. He called me his friend. A common tomb is no place for my Lord. What do I do now? Why does something so perfect have to end?
Oh, It's Easter Sunday or something around here. Awesome. Hey, welcome and happy Easter to everyone here today. Welcome to Grace Assembly of God Church. We are so glad you're here. My name is Wayne. This is my wife, Tracy. And we are so blessed to be the pastors of this great church. And we want to welcome you to our Easter weekend celebration. We are glad you're here today. God bless you. Awesome.
I don't have the card.
Yeah.
Well, this morning when you walked in, we hope you received a registration card.
Oh, I have a card. Here it is right here. I forgot. It's a little crumpled.
All right. Forgive the crumples. But anyhow, we would love for every single person in this room to fill this out. If you are visiting with us today or if you are a regular attender, we still would like to have you fill this out. And this just helps us keep updated information. We would greatly appreciate that.
Awesome. Isn't she great?
Yeah.
All right. It's awesome. All right. Hey, on the bottom of the card is a place for you to write a prayer request. If you'd like for us to pray with you about anything in your life, we believe that God's church should be a house of prayer, just like Jesus said. And so if you'll write your prayer request on here, turn it in at the end of the service when we receive an offering, we will guarantee that there will be an army of people praying for you and with you this week. And all you got to do is write it down and give us your contact information. We'll be praying for you here today. Also, if you're here for the first time, if you're here as a guest, I would like to meet you personally when the service is over. If you go through that door right over there that says Connection Central, that's where I'll be after the service. I'd love to have the opportunity to make your acquaintance in person. Just thank you for coming. Wish you a happy Easter. So thank you so much for doing that here today. Now, let me give you a little bit of a preview of what's going to happen in our service. If you've been to our church in years past, a lot of times on Easter weekend, we'll do a full-fledged production with drama and things like that. But this year is different because this is our first Easter in our new worship center. Are you glad about that? We are very glad about that. And so we're calling today an Easter experience. Isn't that a great name? An Easter experience. And what that means is we're going to be singing some songs, that old songs, new songs that you know. We're going to be sharing some testimonies and some stories. And I'm going to be preaching a short message, right? All right. And so through it all, it's going to weave together the story of Easter, and we believe you're going to be blessed. And the service is going to end with a powerful drama at the very end. You'll want to stay for the very end for that. All right. So how many are glad you came to church on Easter Sunday? We are glad that you are here today. So before you're seated, why don't you take a moment and introduce yourself to anybody around you that you don't know their first name. Just say, hey, welcome to church. Happy Easter. Thanks for coming today. God bless you as you do that. Easter Sunday is a great time to tell the story of Jesus Christ. And part of telling the story of Jesus Christ is the story of people. You've got an outline there in your bulletin if you received that when you came in, and you can follow along the message here today. I've got four simple points I want to share with you about Easter, but we're going to begin this morning by sharing with you a story of one of the families in our church of God's grace, God's mercy, God's power and salvation. I want you to watch this story of Reuben and Melissa.
We are the Rojas family, Reuben and Melissa. I was born in Cuba and raised by a Pentecostal pastor's son.
When I met Reuben, I fell in love quick. He was a single dad and I was a single mom. Shortly after we had started dating, he told me we needed to talk. And that's when he told me about his business. He was a drug dealer.
Basically, we were moving drugs all over the country, even from outside the country into this country.
He assured me that we were safe and that he took every precaution so that we would never get caught. I was all in. We started our life together, and I loved it.
One of our first drug runs to Detroit, I began to tell her about my religion. I was practicing Santeria, a cross of Cuban and African religion practices where idols are worshipped. All you had to do was to bring him your offerings, pray for a blessing, and he would bless us. Who doesn't want to live a blessed life?
Just a few weeks later, I found myself sitting on our couch surrounded by DEA agents aiming their weapons at me while my husband was in our kitchen in handcuffs being questioned. They told me from the beginning if I cooperate with them and turn evidence against my husband, that they would help me out of this mess that we were in. And if not, then they would see to it that I lost everything, including our boys. When I realized that he was going to prison for 25 years, my heart was shattered. I was numb. I didn't know what to feel, didn't know how to function. How do you function?
I remember the first time I saw my youngest son enter the visiting room from a distance. He was now taking his first steps for me. All I could do was try to hold back my tears and emotions so no one could see my true pain. My boys were growing up and I wouldn't be there for them.
After he'd been gone for probably about a year, he called and was talking about the Lord and the Bible and salvation and all this stuff and asked if I would please take the boys to a church. I reluctantly got up and took our three kids to church, and we actually started attending regularly and eventually gave our heart to the Lord and was baptized, and our oldest son gave his heart to the Lord and was baptized.
Things just starting to change in life. I started seeing a different perspective. I started seeing just sort of like a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, he was just shining through for us in just miraculous ways. He was just showing up while I was inside and showing up for my family while they were also doing their time outside the prison walls. At the 5-year mark of my sentence, my attorney went ahead and filed a modification, and it was granted I would be going home. God showed up for us in a mighty way. He kept our little family together through such a horrible time in our life. Without Jesus, I'm not sure we would even ever have made it through.
I have a real relationship with a real God that really loves me. Even though he knows all about me, he still loves me, and he cares about me and my family. And that for me was just mind-blowing. It was overwhelming. Everything that our idol had promised, this real God was delivering. It was amazing.
Simply by the grace of God, by placing God in the middle of our circumstances, we overcame the enemy, and today we share such a beautiful life together. She is my true gift from God. I love that this church represents and the grace it extends, the church where we feel safe to share our story. Today we have our own business and we graciously lead the food pantry here at Grace.
What an awesome story, an Easter story, a resurrection story of Jesus Christ. We thank God for that. Do you know no other event has impacted the world more than the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Think about it. Jesus never wrote a book, but there have been more books written about Jesus than any other person in history. He never drew a picture or composed any art or made any sculptures, but yet Jesus is the subject of more art and then any person in history, bar none. He never wrote a song that we know of, but there are more worship songs worshiping Jesus or songs about Jesus than any other person in history. And when he was born, he lived his entire life. He never went more than 100 miles away from the place he was born. That's amazing. And yet today you can find followers of Jesus in every nook and cranny of the entire earth. So how did 12 fishermen and tax collectors and common men turn into, multiply into now a few thousand years later, where on this Easter weekend, more than 1 billion people will be celebrating Jesus? Well, the answer to all those questions is Easter. Easter is the greatest story ever told. The story that John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God, in the form of a human named Jesus, lived where we lived, walked where we walked, felt what we felt, experienced everything that we'll ever experience. And then he died, and then he rose again. And so this morning, I want to walk you through the Easter story, and I want to share with you just 4 simple principles about the Easter story that I think if we will open our hearts and our minds, even though they're extremely simple, you're going to find that they are extremely powerful. So here's the first point I want to make about the Easter story, and that's this. Easter is a story of sin and death. Everybody say sin and death. Now some of you are wondering, Pastor, why in the world would you start there? This is Easter. happy, you know, sunshine and flowers and all this kind of stuff. Isn't that the Easter story? Well, guess what? That's great. That's part of the Easter story. But the Easter story doesn't start on Resurrection Sunday. The Easter story actually starts on Good Friday. Remember, Jesus was in the garden and the Bible says he knew what was about to take place. He was about to be arrested and crucified, so he's sweating great drops of blood. He was betrayed by one of his closest friends. He was accused falsely in illegal trials throughout the night. He was sentenced by Pilate to be crucified. He was scourged mercilessly by the Romans, and then he was forced to carry his cross up a hill called Golgotha, where he was crucified. Historians tell us that crucifixion is one of the worst and one of the cruelest forms of execution, but for 6 hours one Friday, Jesus suffered and died. But it was more than physical pain that Jesus experienced, because Isaiah says in chapter 53 that the Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity or the sins of us all. But the question is, why? Why is sin and death part of the Easter story? Why did Jesus suffer and die? Why is there so much violence and death as part of this story? Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us why. It says, the wages of sin is death. Would you say that with me? The wages of sin is death. The result of sin is death. The result of sin, the cost of sin, is great pain. You know, we see the evidence of that all around us, don't we? In our world, we see violence and pain and hurt and suffering so much all around the world. And these are all the result of sin and its curse on the earth and its powerful effect in our lives. The Bible says that's the reason, the result of sin is death and pain and suffering. So if sin has such a high price, I think the follow-up question would be, why would anyone ever sin? Why would anyone ever commit sin? Well, the answer is because sin is enticing, isn't it? It promises pleasure, but it produces pain. It promises freedom, but it delivers slavery. It entices us, but then it tricks us, which is why the verse in the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death and destruction. Reuben and Melissa know this to be true, that sin carries with it a great price. For Reuben, it meant that he spent many years in jail. For Melissa, it meant that she watched her kids being taken away from her, and she spent many years raising her kids all by herself. You know what? And they're not alone. I would imagine there are a lot of us here today that would readily testify, either in our own lives or in other people's lives, the pain that sin can cause in people's lives. And that's why the world is such a terrible, dangerous place right now, isn't it? Our world is not a dangerous place because of nuclear weapons. How many know it's the hearts behind the weapons? That's the problem. Hearts filled with wickedness and anger and hatred and lust. And those are the things that can trigger the bombs that can destroy us. And so how many know we don't have problems? We have sin problems. We don't have political problems. We don't have racial problems. We have a sin problem. It's in our hearts. And the truth is, all of us have sinned, haven't we? You see, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, here's what the Bible says. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I looked up the Greek translation of the word all, and it means all. It means me. It means you. Every one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, let's test that out for a second. Maybe you don't agree with that. So let's take a quick survey. Is there anybody here today at church that would say, you know what, Pastor, I'm perfect. I'm looking for hands raised. Is anybody here? Gentlemen, if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask your wife to testify against you here, all right? Anybody here perfect? Never sinned one time, never lied, never broke any of the Ten Commandments, never stole anything small, never take the Lord's name in vain. I'm looking. I don't see any hands raised. Because if we're honest, we all realize that we're guilty before a holy God. And that verse is true, because none of us are perfect, right? But the Bible says there was one that was perfect. His name is Jesus. And in the entire time that he walked the earth, the Bible says he didn't sin one time. The world tries so hard to make Jesus into a fallible human, but he was not just a man, he was the God-man. And he never sinned one time. And that made him a worthy substitute for our sins. John called him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So the Easter story, because it's a story of sin and death, starts here at the cross. The cross is where Jesus paid the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. The cross is where Jesus died the death for us. Isaiah 53 says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You know, think about it. Wounds cause external bleeding. Bruises cause internal bleeding. So you could say that Isaiah was saying that Jesus paid for our sins inside and out. The cross is offensive, though, because it confronts us. And it lets us know that none of us are good. And there's only one that's good. And so we can't celebrate the Easter story without talking about the story of sin and death on the cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrow, and by his stripes we was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrow, and by his stripes we
cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a to the old rugged cross.
You know, if Easter were just a story of sin and death, then why would anybody wear a cross around their neck or a cross on their clothes or a cross on the building? It would be a morbid symbol, but we know that the cross is more than that and Easter is more than that. Easter's not just a story of sin and death, but the second thing I want to share with you about Easter is that Easter is a story of love, and that makes the cross a story of love. Listen to what Billy Graham said. He said, "The cross shows us the seriousness of our sin, but it also shows us the immeasurable love of God." Easter is a story of love. And we know this from the most famous verse in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. Would you say it with me? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Make no mistake about it. The story of Easter, the story of the Bible, is that God so loved the world, that God so loved you, that God so loved us, that he gave his one and only Son to pay the price of sin and death. I want you to think about it for a second. God created this world. Originally, it was perfect. It created it with everything that was ever, the best of the best. And he placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and they had everything they wanted and then some. All kinds of perfection, including life without end, no death at all. But the Bible says that for some crazy reason, Adam and Eve chose to question God. They thought they were smarter than God. And how many know that's still our problem thousands of years later? We're still questioning God. We think we're smarter than God. And so as a result of their questioning God's heart and God's character, the Bible says they disobeyed God and they sinned. Matter of fact, that's the definition of sin, is disobedience to God. And as a result, when they sinned, we know the scripture says that the wages of sin, or the penalty for sin, or the result of sin is death. Death came into the world and brought a curse with it to Adam and Eve, to the world, and to us. And now we all live under this curse of sin, condemned to die because of our sinfulness. So what did God do about this? Did God look at Adam and Eve and say, "You know what? You deserve what you got. I gave you everything you ever wanted"? How many parents know how God must have felt that day? See, "I gave you everything you ever wanted and you still chose to rebel. You still chose to reject me." God could have easily said, "You know what? You deserve it. I'm just going to let you go." But aren't you glad he didn't do that? The Bible says that God is love. And Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that while we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were rejecting God, while we were rebelling against God, the Bible says God sent his Son to pay the penalty for our sin. Who would do that? What kind of God would do that? Can I tell you what kind of God would do that? A God of love. A God who would send his own Son to die for those who rejected him. You know what that means? That means that God is holy and God is good. And we live in a world that thinks that those two things can't be the same. But the word of God is true. God is holy and perfect and pure and righteous, and God is good. And because he's good, he made a way for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Somebody put it this way: Jesus lived the life I could not live and died the death that I should have died. That's love. And that's why the cross is a symbol of love, because of the love of God. Easter is God's loudest voice shouting to everybody that will hear, "I love you. I want you to be in my family. I don't want you to be separated from me. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to be separated by eternity. I love you. I want you with me." God invites us to come, and the good news means that means I don't have to be afraid of God, because he's a God of love. That he's not just holy, but he's also loving. And so he invites us to come to the cross, to come to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that means I don't have to hide. I can come to a God who loves me with my heart wide open, in full surrender. He fully knows who I am, and he'll accept me through Jesus Christ, the penalty for my sin. You know, we used to sing an old song years ago. It says, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me." How many remember that old song? That's a great song. I want you to listen to this more modern song that has the same theme.
Come out of hiding, you're safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown, but I hold the key. 'Cause I loved you before you knew what was love, and I saw it all. Still I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. And now rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's a stand at a distance anymore, you're not far from home. And I'll be your lighthouse when you're lost at sea. And I will illuminate everything. No need to be frightened by intimacy. Oh, just throw off your fear and come running to me. Oh, 'cause I loved you before you knew what was love, and I saw it all. Still I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Distance anymore, you're not far from home. You're not far from home. Keep on coming. Yeah, 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 yeah. And oh, as you run, what hindered love? But only become part of the story. You know as you run, what hinder love? Will only become part of the story. You know as you run, what hinder love? Will only become part of the story.
Wendy Laney, and I was born here in Indiana. I met Mike when I was 15, and we dated all through high school, and decided to get married at the age of 21. I was pregnant with my oldest son, Jericho, at the time, so we kind of entered that relationship. Our union was, into sin right from the start.
The devil tried to grab a hold of my life and take my innocence at a young age. Started by getting my father to leave my mother before I was even born. And then as a young child, I was molested, and so I started off my life with a strong hatred for men. I didn't have love from a father like a child should have. So I had an inner void that I didn't know how to fill. Little did I know that was kind of a path to destruction, and it was set to ruin me.
As a child, you have thoughts and dreams of when you go to college, you graduate, you have a career, you're successful.
We had no clue the path that was in front of us. We were young, we were having fun, and so we kind of just connected, and everything just fit perfect, except behind closed doors, I wasn't the same person as I was out in the open.
At the time, I was a Christian, but I wasn't devoting my whole life to God. Mike and I were just taking a different path.
I go from drinking and smoking pot to taking pills. So our lives go on outside of high school. Drinking gets heavier. The drug use continues, gets deeper and deeper.
He would be sleeping a lot, just not acting normal. But I didn't know what was going on. You know, you have that feeling and that instinct, but you don't know.
I was tearing my life and my wife's and my children's lives up. And there was a time where I couldn't get any pain pills. And so, therefore, I decided to experiment with heroin. And the day that I did that was the day I gave the devil permission to put a full chokehold on my life. And he was in full control. I was hurting. I didn't know what to do. I was lost. My physical addiction was so powerful at that time. I didn't know God, so I didn't know how to beat it. I tried quitting on my own. There was one day, the first time that I had to tell Wendy that I was using, and I believe I told her because she had found something. Something really stuck out to me that I'll never forget on that day was she looked up at the sky and looked at the sun and asked me why I needed anything when all she needs is to look up at the sun to know that God's hugging me. And that really laid on my heart, and it was something that I continued to think about. Wendy listens to K-Love, and she heard about a place called Teen Challenge on K-Love. And she told my mother about it, and my mom decided to send me there. And when I got there, God started talking to me right away. I walked in, they tell me the world will tell you, once an addict, always an addict. But with God, the old is gone, the new has come. You are no longer an addict. That he has thrown my sins as far as the east is from the west. And that was the foundation point for me.
Ever since he's graduated from Teen Challenge, we've been coming to Grace, and everybody here has been wonderful, and we're meeting new friends, getting involved in the outreach programs with Celebrate Recovery, and just meeting some wonderful, wonderful people. So God is good.
I think the biggest thing about it was I learned that I had a father the whole time. I just didn't know how to connect with him. And now that I do, now I found my purpose in life, and that is to serve God and be the father and husband that I was set out to be.
I'm very grateful that Mike and Wendy allowed us to tell their story here today, because it very much illustrates the next part of the Easter story. Because Easter is not just a story of sin and death, it's a great story of love, but here's where it gets really good. Easter is a story of resurrection and hope. Resurrection and hope. Jesus died. He died on the cross. They laid him in the tomb for 3 days. And remember that the religious people of the time were very concerned that someone was going to steal Jesus' body. And so they put a big stone in front of the cave, and they went to Pilate and said, please put some guards at the tomb. And I think it's one of the funny statements in the entire Bible when Pilate said, go secure the tomb as much as you can. Isn't that great? But we know they didn't want him coming out. But he did come out. He rose from the grave. And we celebrate thousands of years later that he didn't just beat death and hell then, but he's still alive. And he still rules and reigns. Somebody give God praise today if you know that to be true. Easter is a story of dead things coming to life. It's a story of resurrection and hope. He was dead. Mary and Martha go to the tomb to anoint his body. And when they get there, they find that Jesus is not there. And an angel announces to them, he's not here. He is risen. All day long, you're going to hear people say, he is risen. And they'll respond, he is risen indeed. Why? Because that's hope. That's resurrection. And on that day, everything changed. The world changed. You changed because Jesus defeated death. He did the impossible. He rose from the grave. And how many know that's what sets Jesus apart from every other religious person in the history of the world? No one else has done that. Jesus died, but then he rose again. And what that means is that Jesus didn't just provide the payment for my sin on the cross, but he gave us power over sin through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think about it. If Jesus had just died and stayed in the grave, then he would have been just a great teacher. We would remember him as a guy who did some miracles, maybe this mystic guy in history that everybody loves, but he was much more than that. He was God in the flesh. He was God's son. And so death could not hold him, and he rose from the dead. What's the big deal about Easter? It proves that Jesus is who he said he was. I am the way and the truth and the life. And Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. And the resurrection proves that Jesus is God and that his word is the final authority. I like what author Tim Keller said about this. He said, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. And he did. And so that means that everything he said is true. And that makes Easter much more than candy and eggs and pretty clothes. It's the greatest story ever told. The story of a God of love who sent his son to rescue us from our own sin so that we could live with God forever in heaven. Easter means you don't have to die. Easter means you don't have to be in slavery. Easter means you can be forgiven. Easter means you can be restored. Easter means you can be healed and God can do anything in your life because Jesus brings dead things back to life. Dead dreams, dead hopes, dead relationships are resurrected through the power of Jesus Christ because our God is a God of resurrection. It's springtime here in Indiana, and thank God winter is gone. Can I get a witness? That's great. The death of winter has passed, and out of that death spring up flowers and green grass and new life. And isn't that a wonderful picture of Easter? We are in the winter of our sin, dead and dying. But because of the resurrection, God can spring up in our lives new hope, new dreams, new visions, new life in Jesus Christ. It says so in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. You say, Pastor, what does that verse mean? Here's what it means. It means the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is here today and available to you who wants to live inside of you. And I just want you to think about this for a second. If that same spirit that raised Jesus out of a tomb and put life into a dead man is available to you and me, we want that. We want that power in our lives to resurrect our spirit, to resurrect our lives. That's Easter. That's the story of Easter. It's a story of resurrection and hope because God is still in the business of changing people's hearts and lives.
Very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them and said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Why do you seek the living among the dead? A question that cuts right to the heart. That day, the women found an empty tomb that once held a crucified Christ. So the angels asked them this very profound question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? That same question echoes in our hearts today. Why do we seek life in things that lead to death? Why do we look for a savior in all the wrong places? We want to live life to the fullest, but we chase the things that ultimately kill us. Why do we search for fulfillment in emptiness? Why do we seek the living among the dead? But that same question contains a sense of celebration. The ultimate sacrifice of Jesus was successful. Death couldn't stop him, hell couldn't hold him, and sin couldn't beat him. Jesus died so that we could live. He took our place, accepting the death that we deserve so that we could live with him forever. Because of his sacrifice, our lives don't end with death. And now we can celebrate, not because he was crucified, but because he rose. Not because he died, but because he lives. And when we gather together in his name, he is with us. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not there. He is here.
We don't seek the living among the dead. Death could not keep him. The grave could not hold him. Are you thankful for that today? From the grave he rose, glorious. We
thank God for the light of the world. Amen. Stay standing. Would you stay standing for just one moment? Stay standing, because I want to share with you the last and most important statement I want to make about Easter here today. That it's not just a story of sin and death. It's not just a story of love. Nor is it just a story of resurrection and hope. That's a great story right there. But here's where it gets really good. Easter is your story. It's your story. Because now you get to choose whether you're going to live or you're going to die. You know, before Jesus came and before he paid the penalty for sin, we didn't have a choice. We were going to die in our sin, and there was no way out. But God made a way through Jesus Christ. And here's what the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? You'll be what? Saved. Wow, that's a word, isn't it? Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from ourselves. And yes, saved from eternal darkness in hell. It's very real. But God made it very clear to us that he doesn't want that for us. And that's why he sent his son Jesus, so that you'll have a choice. Now you have the choice. You get to decide what you're going to do with Easter. You get to decide if you want eternal life. God gives us a choice. And it's the same choice that he gave Adam and Eve. Life or death. And you know what? It's the no-brainer of all time. Choose life, right? Why wouldn't anybody choose life? You see the stories of Reuben and Melissa. You see the stories of Mike and Wendy. And we see the pain that sin causes. But you see the hope that God gives through Jesus Christ. And we think, why wouldn't anybody want that? Well, there might be a couple reasons, and let me point those out to you. One is because people say, you know what, Pastor, I just don't like talking about the cross. I don't like talking about sin. That's not very nice. Well, I know it's not politically correct, but can I tell you that we live in a culture that doesn't want us to call sin, sin, and that's somehow wrong. But can I tell you what that does? That totally keeps you from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no way you can be saved without the cross. So we have to come face to face with our sin. It's hard, we don't like it, but it's true. The wages of sin is death. And the reality is we're all sinners. We prove that, right? We're all sinners. Well, the other reason I think people may not want to choose life is they think, well, you know what, I'm a good person, really. I'm not as bad as the next guy. Well, you may not be as bad as the next guy, but compared to God, how good are you? You see, there's the problem. We don't get to compare ourselves to other people. We have to compare ourselves to a holy God. And the Bible says our goodness compared to God's goodness is like filthy rags. We're sinners and we need God. There's only two kinds of people here today on Easter Sunday. Those who are followers of Christ, those who have made it right with God, those who have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ living inside of them, and those who need to. And so today, God gives us a choice. And I'm praying today that if you're here and you haven't made that choice and you're not following Christ, that Easter Sunday would be your birthday. It would be your first day of the rest of your life, because you're going to choose to get right with God. You're going to choose to receive life through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask, if you would you bow your head and close your eyes all over this room? I'm going to ask that nobody be looking around and nobody be leaving, and honor this sacred moment if you don't mind. And I'm going to ask that Christians be praying, because in just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, hands are going to go up all over this room, where people are going to say, you know what, Pastor? I hear God's Spirit speaking to me. I'm listening to my conscience here today. And that voice of God inside of me is telling me that, you know, it's time. It's time for me to follow Christ. It's time for me to get right with God. Maybe the Spirit of God is dealing with you and saying you've been playing a game, or you got it been kind of half-hearted. Well, Pastor, I believe in God. Well, it takes more than believing in God, because the scripture says that even demons believe in God. It's about who you're following. It's about what you're doing. It's about who's in charge of your life. If you're here today, you're hurting, you're in pain, you're in trouble. Maybe the testimonies that you heard, you say, that's me. Can I tell you that your way out, the first step of your way out is Jesus Christ. And so today you can receive Christ, the resurrection power. Maybe your family's in trouble. Maybe your relationships are in trouble. Can I tell you, the very first thing you need to do is get things right with God in your heart and begin a new life with him. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, hands are going to go up in this room, and you're simply going to say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to make things right with God today. I want to pray. I want to receive Jesus Christ. I'm ready to make changes in my life. I'm ready to come to the cross, come out of hiding, and just come to God just as I am. If that's you, and when I say three, raise your hand real high. One, listen to the voice of God. Listen to your conscience speaking to you today and obey that voice. That voice is truth. Hear him and respond to him. Two, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Listen to the urgency of the moment, because no one is promised tomorrow, but God brought you here today, not by accident, because he brought you here because he loves you. He wanted you to hear this simple message, this powerful message of the cross of Jesus Christ. Raise your hand when I say three, and we want to pray with you that you'll receive Christ. Are you ready? One, two, three. Put it up. Put it up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. God bless you. God bless you. Keep raising them. All over this room, in every section, people are raising their hands. God bless you. We'll give you just a few more moments. Please raise your hand. Keep it up if you don't mind. Keep your hands raised. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Keep raising them here in this room. We'll give you just one moment. Raise your hand. I need Christ, Pastor. I want to make changes in my life today, in Jesus' name. Thank you for raising your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep them up for just one more moment, because I want to pray with you, those of you that raised your hands. Thank you so much. Everyone that raised your hand, I want you to look straight at me. Everybody else, keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. But if you raise your hand, would you look straight at me? Because I want to lead you in a very simple prayer of salvation. Not magic words by any stretch, but a first step in following Christ, a confession. Remember the verse says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, this is that step that we're going to take. And because I know you mean business with God, that this is not a game to you, and you're ready to commit your life to Christ, I want to lead you in this simple but powerful prayer. And anybody that would like to join in with them in this confession, let's pray this prayer out loud together. Would you say, Dear God? Come on, would you say it out loud? Dear God, thank you for Easter. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. I agree with you, God, that I am a sinner, that I've broken your laws, and that I'm guilty. I come to you today to ask you to forgive me, because I'm sorry. I put my faith in the cross of Christ to save me. I believe Jesus rose from the dead to give me a new life. And from this day forward, Jesus Christ is in charge of me. Holy Spirit, I invite you now to live inside of me and make me a new person. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you give God praise for all of those who just prayed that prayer? Amen. Praise God. Hey, now I know people get excited about stuff and basketball and things and fishing and things like that, but I'm going to tell you what. There's nothing more exciting than what just happened here a few moments ago, and people embracing new life. Come on, somebody, give God some praise. No patty caking allowed today. He's risen. Resurrection and hope through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to hold steady, because I'd like to invite our altar workers or small group leaders to make your way to the front of this section that you're standing in. Here's what we'd like to do. I believe this is a very important next step for everybody who just prayed. You raised your hand. We would like to put something in your hand, a gift. It's something for you to read, for something for you to encourage you in your new walk with God. Because now, the Bible says, because of putting faith in Christ, now you're part of the family of God. So that makes me your brother, your good-looking older brother. Oh. No help from back here. God bless you too. All right. And this is a big step. So what we'd like you to do, take that card, that registration card that you had. On that card, there's a box that says, I prayed the prayer of salvation. And I want you to bring that card with you and come to one of these leaders in the front of your section. All you're going to do is hand them the card, and they're going to hand you a book, and they're just going to pray with you real quick, briefly, and just to encourage you. Because how many know, we want to make sure that everybody knows they're not alone. You're not alone in serving God. Look around. And so we want to make sure you connect with somebody here in the church. And I'm going to tell you what, everybody here is rejoicing with you. Everybody here is happy for you. It's greater than Wisconsin beating Kentucky last night. Come on, somebody. Amen? Amen. I'm sorry for bringing that carnality into this altar call. I'm just trying to give you perspective, all right? It's bigger than that, all right? And so we're going to sing a song, a chorus, and I'm going to ask that nobody leave. You want to hang around for the drama we have at the very end, so please nobody leave. We're going to sing this chorus, very familiar songs that you know, but those that raise your hand, when we sing the first word of this song, would you step out and find one of these leaders? We want to pray with you, and it won't take very long at all, but we just want to welcome you to the family of God. Just bring that card with you. Place it in their hand, and we're going to pray together with you. How many are believing for 100% of the people that raise their hands to come? Amen? Would you encourage them? Amen. They're already coming. So go ahead, step out of your seat, and come find one of these leaders. You raise your hand. Go ahead and come out of your seat. Thank you for doing that. God bless you as you come. Encourage them as they come right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, help them out. Help them out. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. Sing this chorus if you know it. Amazing grace. You can still come.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Thank you, Lord.
My God, my
thank you for these who have made this great decision to receive you, to follow you, and to serve you. God, we as their family pray for them right now. God, give them courage. Lord, give them power. Lord, as they begin their new life in Christ, we pray that you would surround them with your love. Help us, oh God, as their family to bless them and strengthen them. And God, we pray that all of us would live a life faithful to the cross that you have given to us. And we pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would give us power to live for you in the days that we live. And God, that we would be faithful to you to the very end. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. One more time, give God praise for what he's done in this house today. Praise God. Amen. Be seated for just a few more moments. Pastor Tim's going to come. We're going to receive our offering, and then we're going to have that final drama that you don't want to miss. On the card, that registration card that you received today, there's a place for you to mark if you're interested in water baptism, because that's the next step. After you've made a decision to follow Christ, the Bible, Jesus gave us the example of being baptized in water, and that's a public confession of faith in Christ. Next Sunday, by the way, we have service every Sunday, and you're always welcome. Come back next Sunday for we call it Take the Plunge Sunday, and it's going to be a water baptism weekend. We're going to be baptizing folks in water in both services. If you're interested in that, mark that on your card before you turn it in here today, and join us and bring your family with us for a great celebration next Sunday as we celebrate new life in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of people I want to thank here today because this is our last Easter service. Our worship team, our tech team, our media team, more volunteers serve this weekend at Easter than ever before in the history of our church. But I want you to, and so I appreciate all of those folks. But listen, I want to say a big thank you to Reuben and Melissa right over there. Wave your hand, Reuben and Melissa. And Mike and Wendy right over here, raise your hand for sharing their story. Would you give them a big God bless you? Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you at Grace this morning. Again, I just want to express my thanks for you attending the Easter experience here at Grace this weekend. And as Pastor Wayne said, in just a moment, we're going to go out with a bang with the human video. We're going to share that in just a second. But every week in our services here at Grace, one of the things that we do is we honor God with our giving. And we give him just a portion of the finances that he has blessed our lives with. And so I'm going to invite the ushers to come if they would at this time and take their places to receive the offering. And I want to invite you as well to get ready to participate in the offering today. One of the things that we do is also express thanks to the folks who've already given electronically this week. Many people have set up regular offerings that come right out of their bank account in honor of God's word and honoring him with their giving. And so we thank you for doing that, especially those of you that are watching online today. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Also, if you're interested in giving electronically, the instructions on how to do that are on the back of your bulletin, so you can follow that way today as well. Hey, how many of you think in light of the message that we heard today and what Jesus Christ has done for us, we ought to be giving people as well? Because obviously Jesus has given us a lot, right? And so we want to participate in giving today. So I challenge you to do that. Also, if this is your first time at Grace, we would love to meet you in Connection Central as soon as service concludes. Right outside this door on my right and your left, you'll see the Connection Central sign. We've prepared some refreshments for you. Just take a couple of minutes for you to grab a free cup of coffee, meet Pastor Wayne, and also find more out about our church. So we invite you to meet us there as soon as church is over. And then finally, when you came in today, you were handed an information card like this. You are getting ready to drop that card in the offering as it comes by. So I want to encourage you to fill out all the information there. At the bottom, there's a place for you to even write in a prayer request. This upcoming week, we've committed, our ministry team here at Grace has committed to pray for every prayer request. So I just want to sincerely ask you to fill out that prayer request. It's going to be a big blessing. You know, at Grace, we're just regular people, day at a time serving Jesus, one day at a time, and we are excited that we're going to try to take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can. Amen? And that's what Easter is all about, obviously, so we thank you for that. Hey, in just a moment, after the video announcements are over, that are going to be playing during the offering, we're going to close out with what we call a human video. And while that video is getting ready to come up, I want you to think with me. In light of the message that we've heard today, I believe, think about that, the first Easter weekend, Jesus has challenged us not only in the way that we should live, but the way that we can live because of what he's done. Amen? And so I want to challenge you not only to live empowered and enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit, but also to tell this story that you saw and you heard today to everyone you know, because it's the story of hope. It's the story that allows us to overcome our past and to have a bright future with Jesus Christ in heaven forever and ever and ever. So let's be bold in sharing that story. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for Easter. We thank you for the fact that you are alive and well today, that you give us the power to overcome all of our past and to live for you. We thank you for those that have committed their lives today to be followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that that same power would fill them today, and that God, from this moment on, will never be the same. Lord, we ask you now to bless the offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, turn your attention towards the screens and watch about some new things that are coming up here at Grace.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grace Assembly of God's Easter Experience. We're so glad you're here. We would like to take a minute and tell you what's going on around here at Grace. If you recently became a follower of Christ and want to take the next step, Take the Plunge is next week. During each service, we will have baptism for anyone looking to make a public confession of a new start in life. You can make this happen by filling out the insert in the bulletin and placing that in the offering bucket, visiting the kiosk in Connection Central, or you can go online under the tab labeled Next Steps. A mandatory orientation will be held on April 8th at 6 p.m. We're excited about the commitment that you have made, and we'll see you then. One of the best and quickest ways to get connected here is by attending the Grace Growth Track. The next classes are next Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. This is a series of classes that are offered once a month and consists of Grace 101 Connect, 201 Grow, 301 Serve, and 401 Go. These classes will help you in getting involved in serving and will also teach you how to share your faith with others. To sign up, please fill out the form in the bulletin or register online at www.graceassembly.org/grow. Okay, dads, here's your chance to be a hero. On Saturday, April 18th, we will be hosting a father-daughter banquet here at Grace. It starts at 6:30 p.m. and will be a night of fun for dads and daughters alike. The dress is semi-formal and there will be pictures, a chocolate fountain, games, and dinner. The cost is $15 per couple, and any dad or father figure is welcome to attend. Tickets may be purchased in the men's ministry table in the hub starting today. We're sure you've noticed, but in case you haven't, right outside the worship center doors in the hub, you can get your picture taken with your family and share it online with the hashtag Easter Experience at Grace. This is a great chance to get a family photo and an opportunity to see all the smiling faces from today's celebration. You can stay up to date with all the events that are going on by using the calendar inside your bulletin, following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Grace AG, or by visiting graceassembly.org. Thank you for being with us today, and we hope you have a very happy Easter.
Sons and daughters of light. We looked for light, but we found only darkness. We searched for bright skies, but walked in gloom. We fumbled like the blind along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. We were destined to fall, even in the brightest days. We stumbled as if it were dark. Among the living, we were like the dead. We looked for justice, but it never came. We looked for rescue, but it was far from us. So he himself stepped in to save us with his strong arm and his justice to sustain him. He put on righteousness as armor, salvation his helmet. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. He slipped out of his royal garments, left eternity to enter time, divinity to wrap himself in humanity. The sea of glass for the ocean of separation. He left peace and for the first time felt pain. Because the very hands that held the stars were now sentenced to wear my scars. It was love that purchased this traitor's heart. It's what the prophets spoke about when they envisioned light living in men once again. For this reason, I am legend, predestined for greatness, built for the final hour. I was born for this. With weapons in hand, armor in place, I now march to the beat of a different drum. I will break through battle lines that have been drawn by discouragement and despair. What more is left to be said? Time has met its end. It's now or never. Collision with me, myself, and I. You see, my mission today is clear. To wake the dead. So let freedom's song rage. You're not abandoned. You're not alone. Last day warriors, arise from yesterday's ash and raise your fist with us. We are the army that's charging upon the land. Defeat is no longer an option. It is victory. We stand.
Difference in this community. Amen. Come on. We stand saved.
We stand.